Last case for argument, Vaca Teles v. Mukasey. Ms. Spashotti.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Hi.
Since I'm already recognized, I'm the attorney for Petitioner Vaca Teles. This case involves the construction of the aggravated felony provision in Section 101A43G as to whether or not we are dealing with an attempted theft offense or a burglary offense for which this Court has held, as did the Supreme Court, is not an aggravated felony within that definition. And what I'm specifically referring to in this case is the fact that Petitioner was convicted in the Circuit Court of Cook County for the offense of burglary. And as the information alleged, he did on a certain date enter an automobile with intent to commit a theft.
Well, isn't that an attempted theft?
Well, that seems to be the argument of the respondent and the immigration judge. And it has been the position of the Board of Immigration Appeals in a number of decisions.
Why would there be any doubt about it, right? You enter a car or house with the intent of taking something from it. Why isn't that attempted theft?
Because the object, attempted theft, is not the lesser included offense of burglary. He did not plead to attempted theft. He pled to breaking and entering an unlawful entry into a motor vehicle.
But you said he entered the motor vehicle in order to steal something.
The information alleged that he entered the automobile with intent to commit a theft, which is what the statute states. He did not admit that he entered the automobile with intent to commit a theft or that he attempted to commit a theft. We don't know what he pled guilty to because the transcript of the plea agreement isn't of record in this case. So we don't know what
he might have entered the car
for some other purpose.
Take a nap or something.
Possibly. It would be almost analogous. The argument would kind of fall around the situation where suppose a person was indicted or accused of entering a car with intent to commit a rape. Would that make it an attempted rape, particularly if the person didn't find anybody in the car to rape, but nevertheless was charged with that? The problem in expanding the definition by simply the use of the word attempt recharacterizes the actual conviction.
Well, but he did plead guilty to the intent to commit theft, right, didn't he?
We don't know.
No, didn't he plead guilty to, well, according to the government, I don't know. Government says petitioner pleaded guilty to unlawful entry of a vehicle with an intent to commit theft.
The only thing of record in this case is a certificate of disposition, one of those standard computer-generated summaries of what happened in a criminal case that is issued by the Circuit Court of Cook County. And all it shows that on a certain date there was a plea of guilty entered and a sentence was imposed. If the government really wanted to prevail in its theory in this case, it should have presented the transcript of the plea hearing so that we would all know what it was he admitted doing. You can't.
Well, the indictment said that he entered a motor vehicle with the intent to commit theft, and the government says that's what he pleaded guilty to.
But he wasn't charged with attempted theft.
No, I don't understand. If he pleaded guilty to entering a motor vehicle with the intent to commit the offense of theft therein, why wouldn't that mean why wouldn't that make him guilty of attempted theft? Well, what else could it be?
It could be burglary.
I mean, it's burglary also, but the point is, this gets back to one of the cases we had earlier today, but the fact that he breaks in to the car, that would be the substantial step toward completion of the theft, even if it turns out that he's interrupted or he thought that was a diamond ring in the car but it was a piece of paper or so on, right? So why wouldn't it be a classic attempted theft?
Well, because you have to, in any attempt crime or a crime that involves the element of attempt, the substantial step in the commission of the overt act, which in this case would have been burglary, would not necessarily include a lesser included offense of theft, because theft is not a lesser included offense of burglary.
Now, look, the point is, if I break into a car wanting to steal something in the car that I think is in the car, surely that is an attempt to commit theft.
The intention to commit a theft in the case of an action that is considered burglary has to be formulated before the actual attempt, the entry of the automobile, in order for it to become an intent crime.
Well, that's what he pleaded guilty to, burglary with the intent to commit a theft in the burglarized facility.
The intent to commit a burglary must be formulated before the action is commenced. The intention to commit a crime of theft must be formulated before the burglary is...
Now I don't know what you're talking about.
In other words, what I'm saying is that while this court is obviously referring to the Garcia case...
I'm not referring to anything. This is just common sense. You break into a car wanting to steal something from the car. That's an attempted theft.
But the charge that he was convicted of was burglary to an automobile.
Burglary with the intent to commit a theft.
Well, then I guess this court is saying that we can elevate an element of the offense into an attempt crime in any case where the offense requires an element
most
of another crime.
Most burglaries are attempted thefts.
Most burglaries are attempted thefts or something else. For example, I would suppose, as I indicated...
This burglary was one. This was an attempted theft.
By the example of a burglary...
You break into someone's house to steal something, aren't you guilty of attempted theft?
You're guilty of residential burglary.
You're also guilty of attempted theft because you're attempting.
That would be the case. But
you're attempting to steal something.
He was not charged separately for the crime of attempted theft.
Yes. Look, every time a person commits a crime, he's committing 10 different crimes because there's so much duplication in the statute books. And the prosecutors don't necessarily, they certainly don't make you plead guilty to all the different crimes they could charge you for. So they just pick one. This happens to be burglary. It so happens the elements of this crime so overlap with attempted theft that if you plead guilty to burglary with intent to commit a theft, you've also admitted that you're guilty of attempted theft.
The statute that pertains to removal regards convictions, not uncharged.
He pleaded guilty.
Well, I suppose, Your Honor, that the...
It would be such an absurd formalism to say that, yes, if he'd been charged with attempted theft, then he's removable. But if he's charged with something else, he's not, even though the thing he was charged with contains all the elements of an attempted theft.
Well, it might also... to follow your reasoning beyond a point, is to say that, well, I guess burglary to an automobile would fall into the generic definition of burglary to anything. And we know that there has been a significant limitation on what burglary consists of in the generic sense.
Absolutely nothing to do with what I'm saying. Well, he was charged with a very specific kind of burglary, a burglary to steal something. And that's attempted theft, where the burglary is the substantial step toward the realization of the intent.
If I had the plea agreement, hearing in front of me, I probably would agree with you. But I can't be convinced of that. I understand how the court's logic is going, and certainly the respondent has said that as well, as did the immigration judge. But somehow I feel that this case has not been established by clear convincing evidence. I'm not convinced anyway until I see the actual transcript of the plea hearing.
That's too formal.
Perhaps. But then again, deportation is by clear and convincing evidence and not by an assumption. Thank you, Your Honor.
No assumption.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Fischotti. Mr. Sponzo? Ms. Sponzo, sorry.
May it please the Court, Jem Sponzo on behalf of the respondent. The agency was correct in its determination that petitioner was convicted of an aggravated felony. Therefore, this Court should dismiss the petition for review. This Court's decisions in Hernandez-Mencia versus INS and Martinez-Garcia are controlling. Petitioner's argument, essentially, is that he was convicted of burglary and that his sentence for a violation of his parole and not for the underlying criminal offense resulted after revocation of the parole that he received. Both arguments are to no avail in contesting the validity of the agency's determination that he is removable as an aggravated felon. In Solorzano-Patlan, this Court rejected the Board's determination that the alien had been convicted of an aggravated felony based solely on the fact that the crime with which he was charged was entitled burglary of a vehicle. This Court held that the proper approach was to determine whether the crime at issue fit within the generic definition of burglary. Here, petitioner asks this Court to find that he is not an aggravated felon simply because the crime to which he pled guilty is captioned a burglary offense. This argument is entirely without merit under the law of this circuit, and that's exactly the statutory approach that this Court rejected.
So he did plead guilty to a burglary with the intent to commit a theft?
Yes.
That's part of the plea.
That's the exact language. It's the same language that was at issue in Hernandez-Mencia. In that case, this Court found that possession of a stolen vehicle was the aggravated felony for which that individual was removable. But nonetheless, in that case, this Court did say that the theft offense language should be broadly construed. Here we're presented with exactly the type of case where that broad construction and where the language of the information, as Your Honor noted, does state that he had the intent to commit a theft at the time of the burglary. Clearly, then, this is the type of theft offense that would be considered an aggravated felony. Moving into whether there's any possible distinction to be drawn between this case and Martinez-Garcia, as petitioner attempts to do, those distinctions are irrelevant. The fact that the alien in Martinez-Garcia was a recidivist immigration violator has no bearing on this case. What is at issue is the fact that both individuals possessed the requisite intent to commit a theft at the time of their burglary offense. Further, because Martinez-Garcia was a sentencing case, this Court reviewed de novo whether that particular alien's conviction would in fact be an aggravated felony under the INA for the purposes of a sentencing enhancement. In the present case, this Court defers to the Board's reasonable construction of the statutes at issue. Therefore, while this Court is not per se bound by the conclusion in Martinez-Garcia that violation of this particular section of the ILCS is an aggravated felony, told to the contrary here would lead to a result completely opposite under a deferential standard of review. In Hernandez-Mencia and Martinez-Garcia, this Court has recognized that the ultimate objective in these cases is to derive a uniform and generic understanding of the language such that the INA can be broadly applied as Congress intended. Therefore, the agency in this case properly looked to this Court's decision in Martinez-Garcia and determined that petitioner's crime rendered him removable as an aggravated felon under INA Sections 101A43G and U.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mrs. Bonzo. And Mr. Fasciati, you have a minute, if you'd like.
I wish to point out at page 18 of my brief that I discussed Hernandez-Mencia versus INS, where this Court defined the crime of theft as the knowing exercise of control over property. There, the alien was convicted of burglary to an automobile, possession of a stolen motor vehicle, and possession of burglary tools, presumably occurring within the same time frame. The Board concluded, with reference to the burglary conviction, that it was a crime of theft because not only did the respondent possess the intent to commit the theft, but in entering the automobile without authorization, the respondent had clearly embarked on a plan of action in furtherance of this intent, which is exactly what Your Honor has been saying in your dialogue with me. The Seventh Circuit, however, disagreed. The Court applied the categorical definition of burglary developed by the Supreme Court in Taylor and concluded that Hernandez's conviction for burglary to an automobile categorically was not an aggravated felony, citing Solorzano-Patlan. Then it looked to the anti-theft statute and concluded that possession of a stolen motor vehicle was a theft.
I thought in that case he was convicted of just of the burglary, not of burglary with intent to commit a theft.
Well, the burglary charge was intent to commit a theft. That was exactly
what
the...
That's not what you said in your brief.
Well, I didn't cite the information completely in my brief. But it's either intent to commit a theft or intent to commit a crime. And this
Well, that's the difference, right?
Well, but this court also adopted the reasoning of the court in a Texas case involving a Texas statute with intent to commit a theft. And it cited that specifically for the proposition that a burglary to an automobile falls within the generic definition of burglary and can't be interpreted as something else. That's all I wish to bring to the court's attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel, and the court is being received.